your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Those first two segments with Adrian Day, very interesting. We did focus a lot on precious metals. So the tail end of this show, I do want to focus a bit more big picture because, look, there was a lot going on in this first quarter. And as we started off with Joel talking about volatility, I think that was one of the takeaways from the first quarter. Also rising interest rates and just this real uncertainty that we had that really got, I guess, distracted in a sense in terms of the war too, or amped up in that way because of some of the war premiums we saw. But quite frankly, it looks like a lot of those war premiums have come back a little bit by the end of the quarter. We are now chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. We usually chat with Joel on Tuesdays, but we pushed it back this week. And Joel, I'm glad we did, just so we could have you on the weekend show and really recap this first quarter. Let's start with the U.S. equity markets, because as much bearishness as we are hearing, markets were down. They're nowhere near their lows of the quarter, but we did see some selling at the tail end, the very last day of the quarter on Thursday. We're even starting off this next quarter, starting off April, down as well. Joel, what's your takeaway from about 6% decline in the S&P and, again, all this bearishness that we keep hearing?
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on this Adjusted Friday. I think you just had a gift rally that I think one that investors, I mean, it's still not too late to perhaps look at your portfolio. Our gains on Tuesday when we were 170 points from the all-time high was predicated on a de-escalation in the war. That is not happening. In fact, the opposite is happening. The market just has a funny way of emphasizing good headlines and de-emphasizing bad headlines. So that was, you know, we're going to have our third down day in a row. Right now, if we close where we are, where we're trading right now, we're going to be down for the week. I think it was a turn. I think there's still a lot of uncertainty in the market regarding interest rates, regarding inflation, fighting inflation, the war. And it's just hard for me to be optimistic about Q2. I mean, you got earnings coming up, right? We'll see how earnings are, of course. But there were big selling balances on the close yesterday, and there was a lot of gap downs. And those money managers there were day trades they were getting out of. They were getting out of stuff, you know, based on the quarter and the quarterly performance. So I'm not optimistic here. In fact, I'm as bearish as I've been in a long time.
Yeah, Joel, it does sound like a more bearish outlook, but that means that this relief rally or gift rally, as you called it, would probably be a good idea for people to lighten up on positions that they maybe have nice profits in just to lock them in, it sounds like. Or are you looking at even potentially shorting the markets here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I'm always looking to short the market, but no, I mean, and once again, you know, we go back, you know, quite a few years in doing this. It all depends where you are on your investment horizon, you know, retired, you know, where you're at, what you're doing with your assets. For young people like you guys, it's obviously a little bit different. But, you know, not, you know, so much that, you know, maybe getting out of stuff, you know, maybe not, you know, maybe, but pick a stop, pick an area, you know, if you'd own something that, you know, one of these high flyers that's come all the way down and it's gotten some of it back and you're hoping to get break even, maybe say, hey, you know, maybe put a stop in or something mental. So at least you're not, if we go back down to those quarterly lows, you're not thinking, oh my, you know, why didn't I do that? So I'm not really putting any new money to work in the market. I'm not taking, you know, a ton off. I'm still not at that point of, you know, dumping the long-term portfolio. Anyways, the wife doesn't let me do that, or else we'd be flat all the time. But yeah, I mean, there's just been like the rally, it just had an apple. I mean, come on, 150 to 180, 20% on like a big cap stock like that. I mean, if you think this is going from 170 to 200 in a heartbeat, man, you got another thing coming. These are just like 11 up days in a row. These are just historical moves. And you know, you got to take these advantages, you know, when you can, because it's very hard to sell into a down market. And that's what, you know, we can very well be, you know, looking at here in the next quarter.
Yeah, volatility, though, too, right? When we're seeing Apple move 20%, boy, oh, boy, there's a lot of money just sloshing around, which I guess does provide some opportunity for day traders. But overall, the trend has been lower. Joel, how much of this is predicated on the environment that we have now of higher interest rates, tightening central banks around the world? Is that the main issue, or is it simply the fact that the reopening trade is over and people are eventually starting to run out of money?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, you know, look at that, you know, average, I mean, their housing price. I mean, have you looked at housing stocks? I mean, are people going out and buying new house, you know, price of houses after the median price has gone up half or double, you know, in the last year or so? You know, are people going to be going to Disney World? Are people going to have the kind of discretionary income? Are they going to be getting checks from the government? I mean, there's a lot of things. Rents are going up. It's going to, you know, there's eventually going to be a point. Well, yeah, the inflation, you know, is good for selling things, but eventually you're going to get, you know, demand destruction. Prices are just going to be too high, and people are not going to be able to afford things. So that's, you know, once again, I'm kind of going off the rails here on the bearish side. But, you know, we don't know what the Fed's going to do, right? I mean, we know that they're on a path to curb, you know, inflation. And, you know, how long is it going to take? And then you get your other worry wars. So, well, they're going to tighten too much, and then we're going to go into a recession. I can't predict that far out. All I know is that we're in an inflationary environment, and, you know, you have to, you know, position your portfolio accordingly.
Well, Joel, you brought up real estate there, and in a rising interest rate environment, generally home prices eventually start to sell off and the home prices tank a little bit, because as the interest rates go up and the cost of borrowing money goes up, the inflated price levels that things have gotten to usually subside. So I'm wondering, will that have a ripple effect like it did in 2008 and 2009, where we saw the housing market get hit to some degree, and then that affected construction workers, which then affected supply and then affected raw commodities? So could there be that aspect to this interest rate rise where people are getting squeezed with inflation? They're getting squeezed, you know, at the gas pump, at the grocery store, consumer discretionary spending is down. So I would imagine that new home buyers may hesitate to jump into the market at this point. Do you think it could hit the real estate market?
I mean, you've already seen it in these housing stocks. Lennar had a great quarter. Like, they made, or KB Homes or Lamar, like, I think had their best quarter ever. They popped to 92, and now they're hovering on the lows of the move. Also, when you look at a comparison to what the market did over the last 2 weeks, it's just an absolutely horrible relative performance. So, you know, prices go up really fast, but then they tend to trickle down. And I think we have to differentiate between now and 2008, because I hope we've learned something from the financial crisis and there's not as much, you know, subprime lending. I wouldn't want to be on a floating rate right now. But, you know, the housing market too ties, you know, that supports you like your Home Depots and your Lowe's. I mean, and it's tied to a lot of, you know, different sectors of the economy. And then also rising prices. I mean, it takes more gas money to go to McDonald's to pay something for higher prices. So there's a lot of different, a lot of different angles that, you know, unfortunately are not pointing in the right direction.
So, Joel, are you saying that we're going to have a big collapse here? Is this going to be another recessionary pullback, or is this going to be, in your eyes?
I can't predict that. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Okay. Is there anything that's going to be safe out there, anywhere that people can put their money that could benefit from this weakness, potential crash?
I mean, they say, you know, gold, that, you know, that had its run. That's been all over the place. You know, commodities, I mean, you know, that, you know, theoretically are supposed to be. I'll tell you right now, and I'm not going to fight it, and I'm not going to join it, but, like, have you looked at utilities? I mean, this makes absolutely no sense. Have you seen the utilities? I mean, I hate to say, you know, I mean, they bucked the trend so far, and I guess that's part of the energy play, but I'm looking at what's held up, and I'm looking at Daxel, you at an all-time high. Duke Energy, I mean, higher prices means they can charge higher. So I don't know. Utilities have proved true and true over the course of time. You maybe did not make as much money in these rip-roaring rallies. You certainly don't lose as much money on the downside. So, I mean, I don't want to be boring and have your people turn off the radio, but, I mean, or whatever they're listening on, but, like, the utility chart. I mean, I'm not going to try and call top in that, but if you want to put your money in, there's some pretty good yields out there. So, growth tech, they've had some bounces here, but we all know in a rising interest rate environment, growth tech is not the place to be. Bitcoin, it's hard. I don't think it's going to ever be the Bitcoin of old. I think it's going to be more of a trading range. I mean, it's hard to touch China. So I'm hard pressed to find a safe haven for you, Corey.
Well, Joel, a lot of people have turned to the utilities because it is more of a defensive sector, just like a lot of people have started turning to consumer staples. And we mentioned last week that a lot of people were turning to Berkshire Hathaway just as, again, another mm-hmm. safe play. You mentioned yields. You know, that might be an area to explore, is that there are a lot of defensive stocks and energy stocks that have really good yields. And so you could get a dividend while you're kind of riding out the storm. What do you think of that idea of just taking a more defensive posture, but getting some yield while you wait?
I think that's what you've seen a clear rotation into that. It's just a question. Are you late to the game, or is this going to be, a persistent trend? I mean, one thing that, growth kind of eat that, growth value, growth did okay, which is, it's kind of contrary. So, yeah, I safe havens, getting some yield, a little bit protection. Yeah. Rebalance your portfolio a little bit into more conservative things. I could definitely see that as a possibility.
All right, Joel, you know what? We're going to wrap it up here. I think we've given enough bearishness to
everybody. I'm sorry, guys. But,
hey, man, I don't blame you. Look, there is a lot of bearishness out there. You're not the only one bearish, and we don't always need to be bullish on markets. Quite frankly, it's a very different world, and we're already seeing that just from last year. The markets had much easier time last year, but the reopen trade is now over. We have central banks tightening. Quite frankly, there's a lack of new liquidity coming into these markets, and now we're seeing some high volatility. So it very much was a different quarter.
Still, we're right near all-time highs. I mean,
that is true.
What do you people want? That's how it concluded, okay?
Boom, there you go. Joel, thank you. Have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat again next week, buddy.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.